Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
All right. Aloha, everybody. Welcome back to the Human-Animal Connection Show. I am your host, Mike Overly, with the fabulous Jeannie Josephs, here to give us more incredible information and tools that we can use to help ourselves and our animals. Jeannie.
Yeah. Hi. That was so nice. I should just like have you say that to me every day, you know.
we'll make a separate recording of this and play that for yourself every day.
Exactly. Yeah, that should be my alarm clock. Oh, Jeannie, you're so wonderful. You're so good.
Of course. Oh, we all love hearing that, don't we?
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
So the foundation of healing, you say, is trust. So this is massive because it's true for humans as well as animals. But
true for humans and animals.
Let's get into this. So tell me about healthy relating and how trust is the foundation for this.
Yeah, well, in case people don't know, there's something called the trust technique, and it was developed by James French. He's from England, and I am a certified trust technique practitioner, which means that I am able to do sessions with people and their animals. And what we teach is how to really expand trust. So what we see is that we talked in our last episode about how safety is the foundation of beginning to do any healing work. So first we need to make sure that an animal feels safe with us. And then the next step is to build trust. And that is, you could say that that's the bond. So in a trusting relationship, I trust that you'll do any, like, let's look at it in a human level. I trust that you'll do what you say you're going to do, that you are who you say you are, that you are going to be consistent with your behavior, or that you'll communicate if something's different. So that keeps a healthy kind of trust, because I know that if you say you're going to, we're going to join together at this podcast Wednesdays at 10, that you'll be there Wednesday at 10, or you'll let me know you can't be there or whatever it is, that creates a healthy sense of trust. But if I say, well, let's meet next Wednesday at 10 and you're not there and you haven't communicated with me, that breaks trust. I mean, not one time necessarily, but if that becomes a pattern, then I don't know whether I can trust you. And so that's the same thing for animals. They need to see consistency that, you know, when we say the word, I'm going to spell it because I don't want her to hear it. OFF, Lulu's in the background. She's our foster dog that we're working with from the shelter. We're teaching her that word. But the first, before we do any of the training, we are working on helping her feel trust. So the first 3-4 days, all our focus was just on helping her to feel safe. And that was in our last episode. We told that whole story. And now as she has a sense of safety, which is fantastic, now we're working on trust. And that is the helping her to understand that humans are trustworthy, that they're consistent, that they feed you, they give you love and attention, they take you out when you want to go out, they respond to your desires, they look at you when you want to be looked at, they touch you only when you want to be touched, and for only as long as you want to be touched, they're paying attention to your, meaning the animal's signals, that the human is paying attention. So this builds trust. And then from there, you know, we're hoping to give her a solid foundation where right now she's trusting me and I'm the only one she trusts right now, but we want to begin to expand that so that she can begin to trust other people. And that's what will allow her to be adopted by someone, because she's very adorable, but she, you know, a lot of her behaviors are based upon the fact that she does not have trust that her world is going to be safe and good, because it was not. You know, she had a couple of very rough experiences. So it was not safe for her in the world. And now we need to show her, even though she's this big, big bear of a dog, that the world can be safe. So the trust technique, it's really interesting, was we recognize the fact that humans and animals share feelings. So like if I'm tense or nervous, my dog is going to be tense or nervous. And if my dog is tense or nervous, I'm going to be tense or nervous if I don't make a choice otherwise. So humans and animals share emotions, we share energy, we share states of mind, and that can work in the negative if there's stress or tension. That was her laying down. You're wondering what that big sound was. But we can also use it in the positive. So I can deliberately make a choice to be peaceful and loving and kind, even if her behavior is opposite of that. You know, I still need, as a human, I can still make a choice. I can say, okay, well, she's doing this thing that's annoying me, and that is annoying. And I know that she's a lovable, good being, even though her behavior is not what I don't love what she's doing, but I love who she is. And that distinction is really, really important. And that's, you could say, she's training me in the sense that we have these two wonderful dogs that we live with, and it's so peaceful and wonderful with them. But, you know, we weren't learning anything because it was just fine. And so we bring in this very difficult case from the shelter to foster, and things are not fine. Things are turbulent. Things are noisy. You know, she doesn't read the other dog's body language well, so she annoys them. And one of them barks at her. The other one just runs, and that triggers her prey dive, so she chases. We got a lot going on here. But this is for me, is I have to reach deeper into my sense of trust that A, healing is possible, and healing is possible for her, and healing is possible for me, and that I can expand my heart to even include a dog who's pretty annoying, who's got some pretty annoying behaviors, but she's so cute, you know, that makes it a little easier because she's adorable. But it does stretch when a dog is doing things that are, you know, our other dogs are like, they're so well behaved and they're well trained and they're therapy dogs and they're just sweet and gentle and loving. And her first shelter name was Bear because she's kind of bear-like, you know, she's big and burly and hairy and furry and large in her energy. So yeah. So in the trust technique, what we recognize is that humans and animals share emotions. And as humans, we make a choice to be peaceful and calm, no matter what. So even if the dog is having an event, an upset, or something that they have to attend to, or it's a loud thing, and it's clambering all through the house and all this stuff that's going on, I still need to make the choice to choose to be peaceful, because that's what's going to help her resettle. If I add to the intensity by yelling or screaming, which I've done once because she did push me too far, but you know, that didn't help. And I didn't help me because I felt bad about it. I just made a loud noise. It wasn't terrible, but I lost some of my self-respect when I did that, because I lost my cool when, you know, when all the dogs went off at one point. So that was a reminder to me that it didn't feel that good. And I don't like to be like that. I don't want to be like that. So I'm choosing whenever possible, but to the best of my ability, to be calm, to help her, Lulu, the new dog, learn it for herself, because she needs it. She needs this calm, because to be upset all the time is very hard on the nervous system, on the immune system, on the digestive system. You know, she's a great big dog, but she never finishes her meal because she's not settled. So yeah, so, you know, even if an animal has lost trust, our job as healers, those of us who choose to do this work, our job is to help them regain trust. And that's what's exciting, is that for both people and animals who've lost trust in a significant way, we can learn and they can learn to regain a sense of trust. And that's where we are right now with Lulu, our foster, is to help her regain a sense of trust that people equals good, people equals safe, people equals love, people equals fun, people equals soft, people equals nice. You know, this is what we want her to learn. And right now she's got that for me. She feels that I'm safe and trustworthy, and she's, you know, just loving and wonderful to me. But my housemate, not getting such good treatment. You know, because my housemate's nervous because she's had a couple of encounters that were scary for her. And so that tension exists between them, and she's working on it. But this is something that can happen, is that it's going to, first we need to give her trust with one person, and then we have to help her expand it so that she can feel it with others too.
I was wondering, what do you think your lesson is in all of this?
Well, great question. So let me just see, because I have been thinking about it, and well, the first part of it is that it's really asking me to expand my heart. You know, can I love and be patient with a being that's doing behavior that I don't like, with an animal that makes me feel like I can't control it, right? I can't make her be different because she doesn't know any cues right now. She doesn't know her name. She doesn't know sit. In fact, I think someone burned out sit on her. Must have been a bad thing, because she doesn't respond at all to sit. Usually sit is very easy to teach a dog. Most other shelter dogs, if I took them home, if they didn't sit already, I'd have them sitting in a few minutes, but not this one. So sit has been burned out. you know, because my dogs are so sweet and so wonderful and so perfect in so many ways, it's easy to love them. But along comes a dog who's lovable, but does unlovable behaviors. Mm-hmm. And can I expand my capacity for loving and patience and kindness, even when she's doing things that, you know, she's knocked over everything that's important to me so far. But I have to just remove those things. That's my job. She's just not doing anything to me, or, you know, it's not deliberate. It's just she's a huge body, big paws, and I don't think she recognizes how big she is. She's pretty big. She's the biggest dog in the house right now.
The ability to realize what you're capable of and what a situation is stretching you into.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty important.
Yeah. And the other thing is that I need to love her completely without becoming attached to her, because the goal is to prepare her for adoption. Mm. And that's not easy. You know, like I don't like to foster because I get attached. The idea of the dog going back to the shelter after all this love and comfort and trust and safety and kindness and all this, she's going to go back to the shelter. No. You know, so I have to love her fully, but not love her in any attached way. Like she's not mine. Like I can't keep her. Not that I can't. My other dogs, I don't think would really enjoy it. And it's early, but ask me in a month, but I don't plan to keep her, but I still need to love her fully. And that's a challenge, to love completely without any thought of the future. Like what's going to happen? How long is it going to take? Can I let her go? What if I don't like the adopter? You know, there's a lot to think about. And I have to trust that her soul is going to help her attract the right person, because she's so cute that a lot of people would take her on site, but they're not prepared for the level of issues that she has. And, or, you know, we're hoping to, of course, heal as many of them, but we're not going to get them all. You know, she's still her nature. You know, she's still who she is.
Yeah, what a lucky dog. Lucky dog.
Yeah, she's a lucky dog. And I'm lucky to have this learning experience, because it's stretching my skill set and my willingness and my ability. And yeah, so I feel like she's already given me so much in terms of that. You know, like it's easy to love Sophia because she's a sweet little wonderful thing. And it's another thing to love this bear named Lulu. She looks like a bear. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I want to tell you a story about this mouse in the shelter. And he really taught me a lot about what I call the circle of trust, meaning that if I trust Lulu, she's going to act more trustworthy. And as she acts more trustworthy, I'm going to trust her more. And it creates like this little circle of trust that begins to expand. So that circle of trust gets wider and wider. In the beginning, it's a pretty small circle. But it gets wider and wider. And there was this little mouse. One day I was volunteering at the shelter, and I was on my way to see my favorite dog, and I had some string cheese in my pocket for this dog, right? I was going to give this dog some cheese. And on the way, there was a little mouse in a cage, you know, it was a mouse for adoption. And he looked at me through the glass like, you. You have something I want. You know, I mean, he just absolutely stopped me in my tracks. The way he looked, he made eye contact me, made me come in the door. I had to open the door, go in the room, see him. All the other ones were kind of scared, but he put his paws up on the cage and just looked me in the eyes like the way, like in a Hollywood movie. You know what I mean? He just gave me this like absolutely meltdown stare. And he knew that I had something in my pocket. So of course I produced it. He trusted that I would do that. And I did. So I gave him a little piece. And it was so cute to watch him, so happy that he had made this thing happen. He had made this human come in the room, open up the cheese. You know, it's not easy to open the string cheese. It's hard to get it out, give him a piece. He was so happy. So of course I gave him some more, and pretty soon he got the whole thing. You know, and this is like the size of him, you know, he ate this little white mouse, and he was so cute. And then when he was finished and he gave me this look, and he, you know, I'm an animal communicator. So he said to me, "You're coming back tomorrow, right?" Like he just knew that I couldn't forget him. He was so adorable. He was so trusting. I had never seen him before in my life. He knew that I was someone who would give him something good. And he sent me that signal from literally across the room. You know, you had me at hello. You had me at mouse wiggle, you know. And I did, of course. So I couldn't wait to go back the next day with more cheese. I think this went on for 2 or 3 days, and then he got adopted, because he was just so, I mean, he just had this ability to make eye contact. You know, he had such complete trust in humans and thought only good can come from looking into this human's eyes. And that's exactly what happened. He made that happen. And it was a really great lesson for me about the circle of trust, to show that he trusted me, I trusted him. We just had this like meeting of the minds. You know, it was such a tender experience of no words, except that we were communicating a little bit, but I almost was going to adopt him because it was such a special experience. But I'm glad somebody else did, because I don't know anything about raising a mouse.
Well, that's wonderful. Hey, let's take a quick break here.
Sure.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, folks, we are back. Welcome back to Human Animal Connection Show. Jeannie, I want to ask you about bomb-proof dogs.
Yeah. This is a term that we use in therapy dog work and in other work with other dogs. What it means is that a bomb-proof dog does not have a quick reaction trigger. That, for example, in the therapy dog test, one of the things we do is we will drop something behind them, like a clipboard or a bowl or something on the floor that makes a kind of a loud clatter. The dog is allowed to turn and look, but they can't get overly concerned. Like, they can turn and look and see what was that and then decide it's okay. And then they're back to being, you know, back in the game of therapy work. So a bomb-proof dog is a dog that can take a lot of stimulation, a lot of kids. If you're working with kids, not all dogs work with kids, but if they work with kids, they can have kids surrounding them and just loving and hugging, and they're not going to get overtaxed. They're going to calm into that rather than stress into it. And so a bomb-proof dog is predictable. We can predict, you know, we know it's okay if they have certain things that scare them. Like if a cat runs by, we know they're going to chase it or whatever, you know, we know that, but they don't do unpredictable behaviors. And it's the same thing like in human relationships. We want to be able to rely on the fact that I can trust your word, or I can trust your actions, or I can trust your, you know, that you're going to do what you say you're going to do, or you're going to tell me you can't do it, whatever. That creates a predictability that creates a sense of safety and trust. And it's the same thing with animals. And when we're learning to train animals, we want to be very trustworthy in the sense that we're consistent with our words, with our tone of voice, and with our gestures, so that if I, you can't see this if you're not watching the video, but I'm just raising my hand a certain way, and that's a sign for sit when we're training dogs. And that whenever I do it, it means that. It doesn't mean something else. It doesn't mean get off the counter. It doesn't mean come here. It has a certain meaning. And that creates a sense of trust in the animal, that they know that what you're saying always means the same thing, and you say it the same way each way. It's clear. It's not ambiguous. And we crave that in human relationships. Of course, we like spontaneity in some ways, but the basics of the boundaries of relationships, we want those to be predictable. And it's the same thing with a dog. They want predictable boundaries, what they can do, when they can do it. They want to know, well, if I'm in the yard, I can play and run and jump and kick the dirt and sniff everything and do whatever I want in the yard. But if I'm on a therapy dog visit, I'm going to behave differently. And that's what we call a bomb-proof dog. So we really want to see that when we're testing for therapy dogs, testing the dogs to see if they're good candidates for training, or testing to see if they're ready to pass the test. We're looking to see that no matter what comes at them, that they have a way to self-soothe, that they have a certain trust in their handler. Like if something scary happens, you know, which always does when you're in a therapy visit, something's unpredictable, that the dog looks to their human and says, is this okay? And the human, through their energy, their words, their tone of voice, their body language, basically is saying, yes, this is okay. You're safe. I'm here. And I do a lot of that with Sophia, especially when we're fostering this new dog, Lulu. I'll use my body to just be in between the two of them. Like when Lulu's behavior is inappropriate as it is. She doesn't follow the doggy etiquette rules. So it can be stressful for the other dog. So I'll use my body to just be in between them. And it's not reprimanding Lulu. I'm not saying bad dog or yelling at her or anything. I'm just using my body to be in between the two. And that creates a sense of safety. Like there's a fair referee. It's almost like the parent that says, okay, now play fair. And that's using my body as a positive way of teaching rather than using reprimand. So Lulu is particularly sensitive. She cannot take harsh corrections. This is one of the reasons that she got a purple dot, which is the highest level of danger of the shelter, is that when they tried to correct her with a squirt bottle, she attacked the squirt bottle. She went and lunged and bit the squirt bottle, you know. So she can't handle any kind of harsh correction at all. She really snaps. So she's a very delicate thing, even though she's a very wild thing.
Sounds like Indigo.
Yeah, there's not the first and won't be the last dog.
No, there's some similarities. I mean, there's something special about bringing a dog home from a shelter. Mm-hmm. You know, my last four dogs were all adopted, right? Mm-hmm. So, they keep teaching me. When we talk about these things like trust and safety, I think we need to be able to accept what is happening. It doesn't mean we condone things, right? So how do we accept what is going on so that we can actually move forward?
It's a really important thing, and especially when you have a dog that's doing behavior that's unacceptable. And this doesn't mean that we aren't going to enter a phase of training with her, but she literally is too reactive to be trained at this point. So our plan is to give her 2 weeks. We're about 4 days into that 2 weeks. And all that we're concerned with at this stage is building her sense of safety and trust. Then when her safety tank is a little more full, we're going to move to the stage of teaching, you know, training some of these issues that we need to train to make her ready to be adoptable. But what I need to do at this stage is accept that what is, meaning I can see behavior I don't like. I can say, I don't like that behavior, but this is where she is right now. She does not have any knowledge about behaving differently. She doesn't know that she shouldn't do these things. You know, like she doesn't read the other dog's body language well. And one of the dogs will give her a real strong bark. The other dog will just run away, you know, but she should have gotten it by now because this has been 3 or 4 days and she doesn't have it. I'm hoping that she will get it, but it's not going to help me to wish it were different. I have to start with accepting her and loving her. What is the stage that she's at, 3-4 days into learning to decompress, learning to feel safe, learning to trust. And then hopefully we'll have a foundation that she could receive training, because she can't be corrected. This is one of the things that got her in trouble at the shelter, is that they tried just a simple correction in a play yard, which was a spray bottle to keep her away from another dog. And she lunged and bit the bottle, you know, and this got her, you know, one of her higher marks, the purple dot, which is means only staff can walk her. You know, these are some of the things that happened. It wasn't just this one thing, but this is why it's important as humans to recognize in dynamics, there are always going to be things that people and animals do that we don't like and things that we do like. But what we have to do is have a real commitment to accepting what is. And that's what gives room for change. When we don't accept what is, when we wish people were different, we want to change them, we want the animal to be different or mad or whatever, it's only going to take longer. It only creates more resistance.
Now that's huge, right? We create this expectation that it should be different than it is. Mm-hmm. And when that's not met, we get upset.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. You know, that's what we do as humans. And, you know, animals do that too. They have opinions and desires, but they can't say it in words. They'll show it in body language, or if you're an animal communicator, you can hear it, but they don't understand why we don't get it. You know what I mean? It's the same. They have the same frustration that we have when people don't do what we want them to do. Animals have frustration too. And so as we get better at listening and accepting what is, we have more room because we're not resisting the animal, and then they don't have to resist us. Yeah. We don't get into that tug of war. And that's why, you know, we teach in the human-animal connection when we're learning how to work with animals, one of the principles that we want people to understand is the notion of neutrality. And neutrality is that accepting of what is. It's like you might want a horse to be different, but you have to start with accepting this. He's behaving this way because this is what feels safe to him. This is what feels good to him, not because he's disobeying you. You know what I mean? He's not doing it to hurt you, probably. I don't know. You know, I'm just speaking abstractly here. But the point being is that we need to have this neutrality where what is, and that's what allows things to change. It doesn't mean when you accept what is that you accept bad behavior forever. It means that you say, this is what is it, you know, right now. And when it's time, I'm going to want to teach something different. I'm going to want to show her something different.
Yeah. Huge. Love this. Absolutely love this. And again, whoever's listening to this, these ideas and concepts relate to the relationships in your own life as well.
Exactly.
So it's not just about the dog, right? So
it's not just about the dog.
No, it's collaborating in life.
It is. So, in fact, that's what we're going to be talking about in our next episode. Episode 20 is connectivity and belonging and the healing power of connection. So one of the things we're doing with Lulu is helping her to feel a very strong connection. And that's what helps her build her sense of safety, trust in me, trust in life, trust in the world. And that's the foundation of it all.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Thank you so much, Jeannie. What a wonderful episode. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll say aloha for now and hope to see you again real soon.
Bye, guys. Aloha.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human-Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services. You can reach Michael Overly, author of Let Your Dog Lead, Musings on How to Create an Exceptional Life, on his website at dogsandmen.com or email michael@dogsandmen.com.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.